You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. A quick note before we head into our first story. We are still taking your questions and comments on the Boise and Caldwell runoff elections that are happening today. Be sure to vote if you live in one of those communities. And after you do that, also go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org because we would like you to scroll down a little bit to click on the prompt on our homepage, and you can give a question or a comment there, and we may include your thoughts on our show tomorrow. This is when we will analyze the results of today's runoff. Now, back to our first story. There is a symbiotic relationship between hunting and conservation, and we're not just talking about a romantic notion of our hunter-gatherer roots. But with the number of hunters on the decline nationally, stakeholders, they are banding together to attract a different type of hunter. Someone not unlike our own Heath Druzan.
A few weeks back, I found myself being pelted with snow, perched on a ridge high above the aptly named Roaring River in central Idaho. Microphone in one hand, rifle in the other, trying very hard not to trip, my eyes peeled for elk, trudging behind my friend and lifelong hunter, Roger Phillips. How did I get here? Well, turns out there's a name for it.
It's called adult onset hunters. Sounds like a disease, and I guess it's a good disease to have.
That's Lan Tawney, president of the national group Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
It's really these people that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s, didn't grow up hunting and fishing, and now want to get into it.
His group and a number of wildlife organizations across the country are counting on these so-called adult onset hunters. So much so, they've created a 5-week intensive class called Learn to Hunt. Earlier this fall, a group of aspiring hunters in the class gathered in Boise. They huddled around an elk carcass as Idaho State wildlife biologist Katie Ulrich demonstrated how to skin an animal.
So see how this kind of just pulls right off? How, like, I'm barely doing any cuts, and that just kind of pulls right off.
This is what Paul Knepper signed up for.
As a kid growing up, I always lived in urban areas.
But as he got older, he started feeling a pull.
I wanted to be more involved with nature. And part of that is obviously understanding your food supply and where that comes from.
States are betting on new hunters like Knepper because the number of hunters is declining. 2 million fewer people went hunting in 2016 than went out in 2011. That's according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But why should Americans care about the decline of an activity most don't take part in? Fewer hunters means less money for conservation. The bulk of state wildlife agencies' funding comes from hunters, in the form of licenses and taxes on guns and ammo. That same Fish and Wildlife study showed hunters spent nearly $10 billion less in 2016 than they did in 2011.
Across the nation, we had seen a significant decline in hunter and angler participation.
Ian Malapiai is Idaho Fish and Game's marketing manager, but he's really more of a recruiter for new hunters. He says hunting can be intimidating for the inexperienced.
We want to provide as many tools as we can to get people over that mental barrier.
So, back to those snow-dusted mountains. The culmination of the Learn to Hunt course is a mentored hunt. So I called up my friend Roger Phillips, and we trekked into the endless Idaho backcountry. It takes us 3 days, but we finally get close to a herd of elk. Close enough that we have to whisper.
So they look like they're moving down the drainage.
Right. Which, see, this is where it's just like, okay, we don't want to go over that side. We want a side hill. We'd like to stay up above them. But we also want to know what the hell they're going to do.
We see 5 of them through binoculars feeding on a hillside. The question is, where are they headed? Roger says this game of cat and mouse with big game is part of what he loves about hunting.
And this is where the chess game starts.
We sneak up to within 270 yards. But I can't get a clean shot.
Do you see the animals?
No. So we take a risk and try to get closer. Our luck runs out. The snow is loud underfoot. Our cover blown, the elk take off. Roger tries to coax them back with a call, but it's too late. They're gone, and we're out of daylight. We got close, though, and I'll be back next year. For Guns and America, I'm Heath Druzan.
And joining us live in studio, fresh off the hunt, is reporter Heath Druzan. Welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Okay, so what is driving the decline of hunting in the United States?
There's a few factors. You've got access to public land. A lot of prime hunting land is public land. And so when you lose access to that, you know, that can be a barrier. There's urbanization. You know, people are moving from rural areas to the cities. I mean, it's increasingly an urbanized country where people might not grow up with that. And so, you know, just fewer people are growing up with it. And hunting traditionally has been something you learned from your parents and maybe your grandparents. And that's kind of going away. You have more people who are growing up in areas where hunting is maybe not as intrinsic in the culture, or it's just harder to get to. And so when you don't grow up with it, you know, it's something that is a little hard to just kind of step into.
You know, it's interesting to me, though, because I think in the Treasure Valley in particular, you know, I know people who live smack in the middle of the city, but they still hunt. I mean, it seems to still be part of the culture here in Idaho, but are we still seeing a decline even here, where it just seems to, like I said, be just a part of who you are?
Right. And Idaho, it kind of depends on how you do the math.
Okay.
The short answer is that Idaho's bucking the trend a bit. And it's more ingrained in the culture here. So it's been a lot slower to decline. And in fact, it hasn't actually declined here. It's actually been flat. So the hunting numbers have remained the same. But you do have to remember that Idaho is one of the fastest growing states in the country. So the numbers haven't declined, but they're also not keeping up with growth. Now, Idaho Fish and Game has said, you know, right now it's actually not a problem. The numbers are pretty good for them. And in fact, they worry a little bit about crowding. But they are trying to get ahead of the curve and get new hunters into the sport, because certainly they're not immune, or we are not immune as a state, to that decline.
Well, and especially if the numbers are flat, but yet we have so many people moving in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So I think there are probably some listeners out there, and I think I would be in this category too, that would say, how in the world is less hunting actually bad for wildlife?
Right. Right. It seems a little counterintuitive.
Right.
And certainly that elk in your scope is not benefiting personally
from you doing this,
from the hunting. But what you have to keep in mind, and is something I think a lot of people don't know, including a lot of hunters, is that your state wildlife agencies like Idaho Fish and Game and across the country, they're not actually supported by tax dollars. They are supported by hunter dollars. So these are fees for hunting. These are tags for specific animals, hunter licenses. And then also there's something, and I won't go too into the weeds, but there's something called the Pittman-Robertson tax, where a certain percentage of firearms and ammo is actually used for conservation efforts. And a lot of that goes to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So hunters are actually funding the bulk of state conservation efforts. And those, as they decline, their dollars decline, and the numbers actually bear that out. They're spending billions less every year.
See, so that is something that seems so incredibly counterintuitive. But as you said, if they're not getting tax money, I mean, you have to get it from somewhere, because Fish and Game do so much when it comes to conservation.
That's right. That's right. And you, the taxpayer, if you don't hunt, you're actually not really paying anything into that. So yeah, they rely entirely on hunters to, you know, to certainly fund their own hobby, because public land access and wildlife restoration and management is key to hunting. So there is certainly, you know, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
However, yeah, you know, a lot of people enjoy wildlife, whether or not they hunt. So so there is some talk of spreading that burden as well.
So ultimately, I mean, is this push working?
It's kind of early to know for sure, but the latest U.S. Fish and Wildlife Survey, for the first time in a long time, actually showed a tiny uptick. I mean, it was basically static, but there was a tiny uptick in hunter numbers. Whether or not that's directly from this, I think it's a little early to know, but it certainly was different than before. And you are getting more people, frankly, like me. I did not grow up hunting. You know, I just kind of got an interest in it in my 30s. And you've got more people like me who I met on this Learn to Hunt program that I did, who you know, kind of want to know where their food comes from, and you know, they like the outdoors, and that could be what's driving the slight change. We'll see.
And as you said, you're going to try this again next year?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I want to thank you for coming in and talking about this and giving us some new perspective on it that I don't think a lot of people, including myself, would be aware of. We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter Heath Drusen. He is part of a multi-state reporting collaboration, which is called Guns and America. Thanks so much, Heath.
Great to be here.
Up next, could the Idaho legislature freeze college tuition? We're going to talk about that. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.
A jellyfish sculpt.